word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Most people don't mingle with the rich and famous. Instead, we may watch celebrities strut the red carpet on TV. We see photos of their parties in magazines or get a glimpse of their personal lives with their kids or in parking lot paparazzi shots. We're not likely to sit across a dinner table from Matt Damon or laugh over drinks with Madonna. But if you're determined, quick thinking on your feet, and brazen enough to sneak past security guards, you may have a chance. Charlotte Laws was recently named one of the top 15 most notorious party crashers in the world. And she wrote for Gawker about some of her tactics and triumphs. Charlotte, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks.
So who knew there was a list of top party crashers?
I was surprised myself.
Well, how'd you get on the list?
I have no idea. I mean, I have done this my whole life, and I did write a book in the 1980s about how to meet your favorite celebrity. So I assume that that had something to do with the researcher finding me and deciding to make me number four on the list. And I was quite honored, I must say.
Who'd you beat out?
I beat out Bill Murray.
Whoa.
I beat out Queen Elizabeth was on the list. She was number 14.
One would think she'd be invited.
One would think so. Serena Williams and Lady Gaga got honorable mentions but did not make the list. So I was really quite honored.
Well, how did you get here? I mean, you grew up in Georgia. You say itself it's not the celebrity capital of the world. What prompted you to start crashing celebrity parties?
You know, I don't know. My friends, when I was a teenager, when I was 16, 17, my friends would, you know, hang out at parties, get drunk, do, you know, go bowling, do whatever teenagers would do. And I thought it would be a lot more fun to hang out with the president or celebrities and live the lifestyle of the rich and famous. So I figured the only way I was going to be able to achieve that was to actually crash, because I was not a VIP myself. I certainly didn't have the money to attend one of these events. And so I taught myself how to gate crash.
Well, okay, so that takes a lot of tenacity, a lot of drive. Have you come to figure out a way to prepare yourself, you know, kind of create a ritual before crashing a party?
No, I just kind of show up. I mean, there are times when I do something in advance to assure that I will probably get in. But most of the time, I just show up at an event and then I start thinking about various ways to penetrate security. And when I began doing it, I actually crashed an audition to land my first movie role. And then the one and only celebrity who I'd ever actually been interested in was Tom Jones. And I was able to meet him and not only land a date with him, but I dated him for 3 years.
Whoa.
And so from age 18 till 21, and I spent about a year attempting to get my first date with him. I put a lot of effort into making that happen, and then eventually it did. So
wow.
That was kind of a Cinderella story for me. And as I got older, I moved to Las Vegas and then to Los Angeles, and I realized there were a lot of benefits associated with party crashing. It wasn't just something to do with fun for fun, but you could land interviews with well-known people for books or for articles. And then I realized that the benefits were getting celebrities signed on to causes or pushing for various legislation and meeting with the president or with senators or whoever might have some sort of impact in a particular form of legislation. So there were a lot of benefits to hobnobbing with the rich and famous.
Wow.
And, you know, you think about some of these fundraisers, which are $40,000 a person or $25,000 a person. The reason people go to these events is because they have that access. They're able to sit down with the president and talk about an issue that's important to them. And I wanted to have that access. So that's what I began to do as I got older.
Wow. So a lot there, a lot of strategy and a real lifestyle kind of choice for you, I guess. You do write in this article about meeting President Reagan a couple of different times, meeting Obama. And I'd love to hear about some of your tactics, like the one that's actually referred to in the title of the article for Gawker, which is called Emergency Delivery for George Clooney, My Life as an A-List Party Crasher. What happened?
Well, yeah, this was the last time that I crashed Secret Service. I've actually crashed Secret Service four times. And this was a couple years ago. George Clooney had a fundraiser for President Obama at his house. And so I got there late by mistake, but I got there late, and they had the the roads were blocked off around George Clooney's estate with Secret Service officers. And they kind of erred when they removed one of the barricades temporarily. And I just kind of went up the hill in my Nissan, and I was flagged down. And they said, you have to turn around and go back down the hill. And I had this bag that I had purchased from Rite Aid on my seat, and it actually had ponytail holders in it. But I said, oh, I have an emergency pharmaceutical delivery for a Mr. G. Clooney. And I pretended to be reading this little piece of paper, hoping that this Secret Service officer would believe me. And he looked around, not sure what to do. It looked like he was looking for someone else to advise him. And finally he said, I guess you can go up. So I went up to the house. There was nowhere to park because there were catering trucks and service vehicles everywhere. So I had to park in the driveway, which I felt really uncomfortable doing. But I got to go to the event. I got to meet the guests, and it was, you know, it was wonderful.
Well, you write about using the, you know, sometimes tears worked for you, being this kind of damsel in distress. Did you ever feel guilty using your sexuality for access?
Well, that was only one time, and that was the very first time. It was actually, I was 19 years old, and I didn't really intentionally use my tears to get in there. I was claustrophobic. The room was super crowded. This was at the in one of the inaugural balls when Reagan had just been elected into office. So I was at Reagan's inaugural ball, and he was on the other side of the ropes along with Jimmy Stewart and various other celebrities. And I didn't even know that I was going to get into the VIP area by crying. I was crying because I was so claustrophobic. I mean, the room was, it would take an hour or 45 minutes to get from one side to the other, and I couldn't move. And the Secret Service guards were standing right at this roped off area, and I just started crying. And they had pity on me and let me into this, you know, breezy, open VIP area, and I got to remain in that area for the rest of the evening. But in my mind, I wasn't trying to get over there. I was very happy that I did, and I was able to talk to the president, which was nice.
We're talking with Charlotte Laws. She was voted number 4 on the list of the world's 15 most notorious party crashers. Now, Charlotte, you just said that you have gotten through Secret Security 4 times. Should we be worried about that?
Well, no, they always check me for weapons. I mean, every single time I went into these events, I could not have gotten in with a knife or a gun. So I feel like Secret Service did their job. You know, their job is to protect the president from someone who wants to harm them. I did not have the means to harm anyone. So to me, they did their job. You know, all of these events, the president was protected, or the president-elect, or the, you know, whoever it might be that they were protecting. One event was John Kerry when he was running for president. And that was at Walt Disney Hall in Los Angeles. And that was really an amazing event. And that was a hard one to get through, because I literally, on that particular occasion, I just kind of rushed through, and Secret Service was yelling at me, wait, we didn't see your ticket, come back here. And I just kind of kept going. And then once I got into the main hall, which was still filled with a lot of really interesting, you know, politicians and entertainment people, I was able to get backstage by latching myself onto an actress who I could tell was going backstage. And that's kind of one tactic you can use, is you kind of scope out, if you're in a theater or an auditorium, you scope out who you think is heading backstage, and then you very quickly become their friend. And you talk to them as they're walking past security, and security then thinks you're with them, and they let you into the backstage area. So I got into this green room, and that's where I, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and Barbra Streisand, and I mean, everybody was there, Robert De Niro and John Kerry and you name it. And that was, it was really nice. I mean, I was felt very honored to have made it back there.
Well, I'm trying to imagine you know, you're at these $25,000 a plate fundraisers, or, you know, parties where people are, you know, there's expensive food, expensive cars, your Nissan parked outside some kind of way. And how does that look compared to your daily life, you know, and the people that you spend time with regularly?
Well, I mean, I I'm kind of a homebody, so I don't really go out a lot other than to things here and there. I mean, I spend a lot of time at home. I'm very much into tennis. I have a court at my house, so that's kind of exciting for me. I have my animals. I have 9 chickens and 2 dogs, and we have people come over for dinner. But I'm not a person who actually likes to go to parties. That's what's kind of funny about this, is that I'm a party crasher, but I've never liked partying, really. I mean, I'm not a person who drinks alcohol. I've never had a glass in my life. So I have this kind of different lifestyle, in a sense, I guess you could say. But I definitely like spicing my life up from time to time, living in the bold zone, having these experiences that are unusual that I can remember and say, wow, that was cool how I was able to do X or Y, or accomplishing a goal because I was able to, you know, meet somebody who, you know, could help me accomplish whatever that goal was. So, yeah, I think it really can spice up somebody's life, and I think that you know, people should go after their dreams, you know, pursue whatever it is, whether it's something trivial or whether it's something important to them. You know, I encourage people to, you know, pursue that, to, as I said, live in the bold zone.
Well, Charlotte, thank you for speaking with us.
Well, thank you.
Charlotte Law, she's an LA-based writer, and she wrote about her experience as a longtime celebrity party crasher for Gawker. She's also author of a new memoir. It's called Rebel in High Heels. Now, there's a link to read her article, Emergency Delivery for G. Clooney, My Life as an A-List Party Crasher. It's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. So for Charlotte Law's, party crashing led to a career as a writer and a talk show host and an activist. Up next, we're going to hear about a very different kind of crasher in the news recently, whose story takes a much different turn. That's when Word of Mouth continues after a short break.